Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Kia ora and welcome to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I am your host, Jordan. I am mum to two beautiful little boys, Jai and Ali. I also host the Your Birth Project online hypnobirthing course and the Mini Kiwis First Aid course for parents of under 5-year-olds. And I have an online store attached to Your Birth Project, which encompasses everything pregnancy, birth, and postpartum related. So just absolutely love that side of the business. I'm also a very, very passionate storyteller and a lover of all things birth. So hence why I am leading you on this podcast. I'm not an advocate for any particular type of birth or model of birth care. I am simply here to hold space for this platform for you to share your beautiful stories with us all. You'll hear stories of joy, of heartbreak, of love, of loss, and each family has a different experience to share. I'm trying to bring to light stories that we often only tell in the darkest of places or to our closest of friends, but really are so important for everybody to hear. So I hope that you love the podcast of these beautiful families all over Aotearoa, and I will let you jump into the podcast now. Enjoy. Today's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales is proudly brought to you by Your Birth Project, which is my online hypnobirthing course designed to help you create your best birth. And if you want to check out the course, you can use the code PODDY, P-O-D-D-Y in capital letters, and you will get 10% off the course. The course is designed to help you create your best birth regardless of where or how you want that to happen. It will educate you on the stages of labor. It's got an awesome birth partners section so that they can learn all about what will happen through your labor process and how to best support you. There are comfort methods and tools and breathing techniques that you can use in your labor and birth, and I'm confident that once you finish the course, you'll be feeling empowered and like you've got the knowledge you need to make the best informed decisions for you and your baby at the time of your birth. So if you want to check it out, head to www.yourbirthproject.com or at Your Birth Project, and you will also find the online store there, which you can shop on if you're in New Zealand or Australia, everything pregnancy, birth, and postpartum related. So I would love for you to check it out. In this week's episode, I am speaking with Emma, and the lovely Emma takes us through her pregnancy and birth story with her beautiful new baby boy, Louis, who's almost 4 weeks old. And Emma takes us through initially having a low BMI and needing to gain weight to start ovulating again. So she worked with Sarah from My Monthly on that, and then actually spontaneously fell pregnant after 2 months of trying and not trying. And so she talks us through her pregnancy experience. She had a midwife here in Tauranga, where she wanted to give birth. She did the Your Birth Project course and also hatched antenatal online and in person. And then she talks us through her birth experience, which was in Tauranga Hospital. She ended up having an episiotomy to help little Louis into the world, but I will let her do a much better job of talking us through it. I hope you love the episode. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to send me a message at Kiwi Birth Tales on Instagram or flick me an email, www.kiwibirthtales.com. All right, I hope you love the episode. Let's jump into it. Hi, Emma. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
No, I'm so excited to be speaking with you and sharing. So I'm very, very happy to be here.
Awesome. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously my name is Emma. I live here in Tauranga, beautiful Bay of Plenty. I live with my husband, Luke. We actually both grew up here, which is we came back a couple of years ago after being overseas. So I've got my husband, Luke. We've got two little fur babies. We've got Arlo, who's our toy cavoodle. He's 3. We've got Austin, our schnauzer. He's 1. And last but definitely not least, we've got our newest family member, who is Louis. Louis was born on the 7th of August, and he is just a little dreamboat. So he's only a few weeks old. I think he's, 4 weeks on Sunday. So that's our little family here.
Cute, so cute. Amazing. And what was the journey like to pregnancy for you and Luke? Do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Luke and I had been living in Sydney 3 years and had got engaged, and then COVID hit, and after some time being away from family for so long, we made the move home to New Zealand. We got married, bought a house, kind of ticked off those boxes, and after a little while we started thinking about starting a family. I kind of like backtrack a little bit. So while we got pregnant quickly, there had been some kind of steps before that. I had lost my period after having a very regular cycle all my life, which was just down to a few bad eating habits like intermittent fasting and things like that. So when we started talking about starting a family, I realized that I needed to sort that out. So I went to my GP. I also spoke to Sarah from Your Monthly. Got like an eating plan. We did some blood tests that tested my LH and progesterone, just to see, was I ovulating, which showed at that time I wasn't. So got the eating plan in place, started putting on some weight, and very quickly my period did come back. It came back after, I think, a couple of months, which was quite surprising because I still had like quite a bit more weight to put on to kind of be in that zone where they considered, you'd be fertile, you'd be able to have a pregnancy. So Luke and I kind of said, like, look, I'm not going to get pregnant right now, but we may as well just stop preventing it and see what happens. And to kind of everyone's shock, my GP, me, Luke, we got pregnant, I think, on our second month of trying, which was amazing. So stoked, because I know it's not, necessarily always an easy journey, and we definitely were preparing ourselves for a longer journey. Initially, I guess I had that thought of like, shit, I'm still, not quite where I would want to be in terms of weight. A little bit worried in terms of what that would mean. But, baby was healthy, baby was growing. I was eating well. I was just on the small side, but there was no problem. So, easy journey to pregnancy, but without having those steps that I'd taken first, I think it would have been a lot different.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And did your GP sort of tell you when you were pregnant, like, did you work with them or anyone else on an eating plan, or you sort of already had the one and you just stuck with the one that you were already using?
Yeah, I stuck with the one I was using Sarah from Your Monthly. That was really good. It was really balanced. And I just kind of found that once I was pregnant, like, the thought around food just completely went. Like, I just had to eat what my body was craving. And that first trimester, it was, very beige carbs. So I think anything salty. So I just really kind of ate in tune with my body, and it worked, healthy baby, healthy pregnancy. So just really stuck to that, and kind of, had to really just listen to my body and not think like, oh, I should have this now. It's like, what do I feel like? Am I hungry at a random hour? Eat. Who cares?
Awesome. Cool. And so when you found out that you were pregnant, did you have like symptoms that made you want to take a test, or were you expecting your period? What sort of happened there?
Yeah, so I'm just one of those people that kind of, I hate surprises. I'm always wanting to know what's happening. So I think the first month we tried, I got my period, and I remember just having that sinking feeling of like, damn, like, it didn't work, and you have all these thoughts. And then the second month, that cycle, I had the worst PMS. I was horrible. My sister was living with us at the time, and she even said after, she was like, whoa, I was scared to talk to you. And then the next month, as it was kind of getting closer to my, when I would be expecting my period, because it was regular at this point, I started feeling really hormonal, had achy boobs. I got kind of like the, well, what I thought was cramps, but it was kind of like an implantation pain or tingling or whatever, something, and then a bit of spotting. And I remember saying to Luke, I was like, this is either going to be the worst PMS and just stay away from me for a week, before I'm pregnant. And yeah, it turns out I did a test early because I was, you know, chomping at the bit to know. That was negative. I was like, all right, I'll wait a few more days. I'm not actually due to have my period yet. And then I did a test in the morning. My period hadn't come. I'd had some spotting, but then no, you know, full period. And then did the test and it was a really faint line. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I like showed Luke. I was like, oh, that could be a positive. And we were like, yeah, I'll go. So I was like, I'm not sure. I'll go get a digital one and I'll do it again tomorrow morning. Got the digital one, did it the next morning. Very clear it was a positive. And now I know, you know, even if there is a faint line, it was a positive. So yeah, that was kind of finding out. And it was bizarre. Like I just walked into the room and I just gave it to Luke. And we kind of just looked at each other. I think we were just a bit in shock, to be honest. Like it's not one of those stories where it was like super, like we were gushing with tears and stuff. We were just genuinely in shock. So
it's so funny, isn't it? I always think about it like, I don't know, you go through like life when you're younger and you've got partners or whatever trying not to fall pregnant, and then you get this positive pregnancy test and you're like, shit. Like,
I felt a bit of relief that we got pregnant.
Yeah,
was also there, but then it was also like, oh my god, like we thought this was going to take ages. We weren't expecting this to happen now. And like, yeah, there's just so many thoughts going through your head in that second that, yeah, I wish I had like a amazing story of us, you know, me surprising Luke with it, but it was very mundane, like before work, me just walking in the room with the test, being like, oh my god.
Awesome. And what was the rest of your first trimester like? Did you find a midwife and how were you feeling in the rest of that sort of 12 weeks?
Yeah, so I had heard that it was hard to get a midwife. So I got onto that ASAP, found a lovely midwife who I couldn't rave more about her. I'm actually sad we have our discharge on Monday. And I'm like, oh, I'm actually going to really miss you. So went down the midwife path and that's been fantastic. And the rest of the first trimester, I mean, I definitely got nausea in the mornings. I had like a pack of salty crackers by the bed. I'd be munching on those like 3 a.m. 4 a.m. Just to kind of curb that horrible feeling when you get out of bed. If I didn't eat something and got out of bed, I would be really sick. But I never spewed during that period, so yeah, pretty lucky there. Just that nausea probably from like week 6 to week like 10, like it wasn't too bad. But what I would say is I did not feel myself. I didn't want to see anyone. I was feeling really antisocial. I just wanted to be at home. It was over the Christmas New Year period, so very social festive season. Everyone's drinking, and I obviously hadn't told everyone at this point, like from like the work and wider friend circle. So you kind of like go to these events and just don't want to be there, don't want to interact. Yeah. So I definitely didn't feel myself. But lucky in the fact that I, you know, could get through the day and wasn't having to, you know, spew or anything like that.
Awesome. And did you decide to do all of the sort of standard testing that's offered in New Zealand? And did you want to find out the sex of your baby?
Yeah, Luke and I, again, just both don't do surprises, kind of control freaks, that sort of A-type personality. So we did the NIP test because we just thought, first baby, let's just make sure, let's just do everything. So we did that, and we definitely wanted to find out gender as well early on. So when the NIP test results came back, my midwife texted my sister, boy or girl, and then my sister organized like a popper, and we said like, oh, we'll do like just a low key thing, couple of friends, do the popper, find out. And then as soon as my sister found out, me and Luke were like, nope, that's it. We can't wait. We need to know. And got my mum and my sister around to our house like that afternoon and just did it. Just the few of us, and videoed it and shared it with people. But we were just so desperate to know. And it's quite funny because the poppers as well, like I just am such a klutz, and Luke has this amazing you know, the papa blew up and his expression's so cool. Like, he was over the moon. Like, he said he didn't care, but when he saw that blue, I think he did care because he was ecstatic.
Yeah.
I couldn't pop mine, so all I've got is a really frustrated face as I'm trying to pop this thing and complete it at the moment. So, yeah, but no, I mean, we did all the screening as well. We just wanted to be sure for the the one with the really sugary drink. Oh, God. Yeah. That for gestational diabetes, yes. Did all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. And all the normal scans as well. So 12-week, 20-week. And then I ended up having an extra scan right at the end of my pregnancy as well, just because they were concerned of baby's growth at the end, because my fundal measurement hadn't changed. But turned out just to be fine. He had just dropped really low into my pelvis. But, yeah, we went... Did all the normal stuff.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And did you do any like antenatal classes or birth education or anything like that in your pregnancy?
Yes, I did your course so early on. Like, I think I did your course in like, so we got, I fell pregnant in November, and I think I did your course like over the summer break, so like a few months in. I just loved learning all about it. And then I did your course again closer to the end of my pregnancy, and made Luke watch him. Well, not made him, he was keen to, but watched some of them with me. We also did the hatched antenatal class. Which was really good. Lucky that, you know, Carmen's based here in Tauranga, so we actually went to one in person, which was cool. Luke and I both have jobs where we are, you know, remote. We work on the laptop all day. Yeah. It was kind of nice to go to something at the end of the day that wasn't again online. Some people love it, but we were just like, oh gosh, get us off our computers. Which was really good. And then we still got the online version, so like, you know, as we got closer to due date, we rewatched ones like installing the car seat, how to bath a baby, all these sorts of things, just to refresh. And we really enjoyed kind of that process. I think the one thing I would say is, you know, we went to the in-person antenatal and hoping to like grow a community as well, like meeting other people down here that had babies, were having babies. But because like the break in between, or like the tea break, I guess, was so short, it's kind of like pressures on to go to the bathroom, get a cup of tea, and then try and make a friend. And it kind of a little bit awkward. But really nice in that, you know, Facebook group after, and there's the opportunity to connect with people, which has been nice as well. And like,
yeah,
now that everyone's having their babies, they're sharing that as well, which is cool.
Awesome, very cool. And did all of that sort of give you a guide or any sort of thoughts on how you wanted your birth to go? Like, did you have a birth plan or an ideal birth?
I was really open to anything. I kind of just, you know, whatever is going to be best for me and baby, I will go with it. I had the mindset of like, I've never given birth. I don't know what this is going to be like. I don't know how it's going to feel like. I might want this. It's too hard to know having not been through that. So I didn't really have a plan. My plan was just to go with the flow. We did kind of decide that a hospital birth, we just felt more safe being the first and having all of that available. If things did change down a different path. I also knew that for me, the epidural was something I was pretty open to, so may as well just be in the hospital in case that's what I decided I wanted. I was keen to be in the water and move and kind of do that. And you know, one thing that I really took from your course was the breathing techniques, and I'll talk about it soon. But those really got me through some of those really painful contractions. So the only thing I was pretty clear on is that I didn't want IV. Drugs, just because in the past I've got super nauseous on them, so I knew that if it got to the point where I was going to need, you know, some kind of more intense pain relief, I'd go straight to an epidural rather than try any of that. But yeah, that was kind of it. And you know, plan was, you know, Tauranga Hospital was pretty strict around with COVID and stuff, but pretty late in my pregnancy they changed it and you could have an extra support person, so I had Luke and I also had my sister, which was really, really cool, and so glad I had both of them in the end. Definitely just needed that extra like familiar face in the room. She's a nurse, so kind of someone that could explain things to me if things got a bit hectic, and knows the hospital well. So yeah, that was I guess the plan was to have no plan and go with the flow, which we ended up having to do. So I'm very glad that I wasn't too set on something.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. And were you doing anything like in the lead up to your labour? Were you doing the raspberry leaf tea or the perineal massage or antenatal expressing, any of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think as soon as I hit 37 weeks, I was like, right,
let's
get this baby out. I was ready. Yeah. I think baby was ready. I was drinking so much raspberry leaf tea. And I think as soon as we got home from, you know, having Louie, there was more left and I just literally chucked it in the bin. So I was like, that I can't drink any more of it. There's just been too much. I did the evening primrose oil capsules just orally. Mm-hmm. I was doing antenatal expressing, which for me was more about like learning how to express and like how do my boobs work and where does the milk come from, because you know, I did freeze some and collect some as well, which was great. But it was, yeah, more just becoming a bit more familiar, which was awesome in those early days.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I walked. I just walked and walked and walked. I was determined to jiggle that baby out. Sex, tried sex. So uncomfortable when you're heavily pregnant. And in the end, I was kind of like, you know what? This baby's just going to come when he's going to come. I'm not going to like... Yeah. I think at the point where I decided I was overdoing all of that sort of thing is literally like the day before he decided to come. So it's funny how things work out. And then I remember having this conversation with Luke being like, we're not even going to know what put me in labour because we're literally trying everything right now. So it could be any one of these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think there'll be so many people that can relate to that. And babies are just like so cheeky. I reckon they just wait for you to be like, oh, I'm stopping everything. I'm just going to relax. And then they're like, oh, I'm coming now.
Oh, time to come. Yeah. Louis was in, he was on my right side head down. So we really were trying to shift him to get onto that left side in those last few weeks. So I was sleeping on my left hand side every night. You know, when I was on the couch, I was always, you know, on my left, trying to get him to spin around. Fortunately he didn't spin, and he ended up not taking the short road around the front and going all the way around the back, but you know, everything like that was just trying to get him into position, but he just wasn't playing ball. So definitely you know, you just gotta go with it, I think, at that point. But it does make you feel a little bit better to be trying things, I think. Like, I think it gives you something to focus on.
Can understand that for sure. And so did your labor end up starting spontaneously? Do you want to take us through, if it did, how far along were you, and what sort of happened from there?
So I started getting really uncomfortable at about 38 weeks, and I had a really, really good pregnancy, had been so mobile, and then kind of got to 38, 39 weeks, and I just got so uncomfortable. I had sciatic hip pain, couldn't really walk as much, had lots of Braxton Hicks that kind of felt like they would start to become contractions in the night and then stop by the morning, so wasn't really sleeping either. Had two stretch and sweeps, so I think I had my first one at, oh gosh, isn't it funny how like all the weeks and days blend, but I had I had one on a Monday and I had another one on a Thursday. And then my waters broke spontaneously on the Saturday afternoon when I was 39 and 2. So I think I had the first – so I would have been over 38 weeks when I had my first sweep on that Monday, which was good. I was 1 centimeter dilated. It was kind of far back, but it was really stretchy and she could do it. And then another one on the Thursday. I don't know if those made me go into labour or not. Gave me a heck of a lot of contract, like Braxton Hicks and quite uncomfortable cramping. I mean, who knows? Again, I was literally trying everything. So waters on that Saturday, I'd been really uncomfortable. I'd kind of been thinking in my head like, oh, I feel a bit off, but I don't want to say anything to Luke because I think I might just be reading into things again too much. We went for a little walk around the block that Saturday afternoon around like 4, and I was like, oh, I feel like my underpants feel quite wet. Like, what's going on? I was like, I think we need to get back home. Went home, was sitting on the toilet and stood up, and then there was just like a splat on the floor for this clear liquid, and I was like, cool, so I think my water's just broke. That's like, woohoo, like, yes, like we're on the clock now, this baby's coming. It was almost, it was exciting, it was a relief. But I think I'd had so many like false starts that week with, you know, Braxton Hicks and thinking it was all on. I almost like still didn't think it was going to happen. I don't know why. So yeah, that was Saturday afternoon around like 5 PM. Contractions started around 9 PM that night, but I was only getting one every 10 minutes. It was very manageable. It was like bad cramping. Kind of had this thought of like, oh, this is labor, like we're all good, maybe I should just go to the birth center, like I can handle this. And then didn't pick up overnight. Got to the morning feeling pretty deflated because still wasn't having regular contractions. Midwife called me and she was kind of said like, right, we're on the clock now, we do have to get baby out. And that really just gave us the option of going to hospital and being induced. So yeah, that was the next plan. And I think we got to the hospital around midday, and I hadn't really thought about, like, it's funny because I listened to so many of your podcasts and I didn't listen to many of the induction ones. I don't know why. I just didn't think it would have to happen. And funny how that happens. And then, yeah, so got to the hospital. Midwife had a plan. We were going to do this Syntocin induction. So the drip in the arm, and that really meant, like, you know, the pain relief options I'd been hoping, or, you know, to get more comfortable, kind of became more limited at that point. Like the water was going to be hard, movement was going to be hard because you're, you know, got the drip. And I also didn't realize this, but that induction is very intense and very quick. So we also just kind of said at that point, like, let's just try get an epidural on board as soon as possible, given that that's really going to be my only pain relief option. So that was going into labor, not what I expected at all. Thought I was just going to like early labor at home, get far along in my contractions, go to the hospital, pop the baby out. Already it was so different to what I had expected. But also at that point, I was just so ready for him to come out. I was just like, whatever it takes, let's just do it. Like, I don't mind now. I'll just, didn't even really consider what these things were. I just wanted him out of me.
Fair enough. I can understand that. And so what sort of happened from there? How long did the Syntocin take to sort of really work? And were you getting internal exams? And, yeah, do you want to talk us through the rest of your labor and into your birth story?
Yeah, absolutely. So got to the hospital, like I said, and around, so I think when I first arrived, I had to be examined by the registrar just to confirm my waters had broken. Kind of funny that they did that now, because, and you know, I was soaking with my waters. Like, I just, mind was blown about how much water was in my body. But she still wanted to do the examination, which my midwife was like, oh, you know, kind of hospital procedure, but like she's literally soaking the bed. So we did that, confirmed I was 3 centimeters at that point. So, you know, things were moving along, but just not fast enough. And the registrar agreed that we could, you know, do the Syntocin induction. And so that got underway around midday. That started working really quickly. Within the hour, I probably had contracted like four contractions coming in 10 minutes, like, you know, 4 and 10, very intense. We were still waiting on the epidural, so the anaesthetist arrived around 1, and at that point I was in a lot of pain. Those contractions were intense, and I just, you know, just trying to sit still while they do the epidural was just, I don't think I cried at any point, but that had tears in my eyes, just like having to focus so hard on staying still while these like big contractions are coming through. But got the epidural around 1. That was good. But unfortunately for me, the epidural only worked on one side of my body. So my right-hand side I could feel nothing. Couldn't feel any pain, but my left hand side, I had a lot of feeling, really, really intense feeling as well. So we tried a few different things. We tried rolling me onto my left hand side to kind of have the, what they put through the epidural, like drain into the left, but then baby's heart rate dropped, so we had to put me back on my back. The anaesthetist came back and he kind of looked at it, and he was like, right, we can put some more, I can't actually remember the name of what they use, we can put some more through the epidural, try and get more coverage on the on that left hand side, see if that will work. So we did that. Unfortunately, that didn't work either. So at that point, you know, contractions were coming thick and fast, but I had all the feeling in the left, and it was, you know, we can try pull the epidural out and reposition it, but then you could lose the pain relief in your right was the risk. And at that point, I was like, I'm not prepared to lose the right. I was like, I'm just going to have to battle through this, which definitely not ideal, because I think for me, the epidural had always been like the saving grace. Like, if all else fails, I'll have an epidural and I'll be sweet, like I'll have this pain-free birth. And yeah, that wasn't the case. Had really intense pain at my left hip, which had my sister and Luke literally rotating, I just wanted them to put all this pressure on my hip when contractions were coming. And they had to take turns because my sister was like, we were having to push so hard, like the amount of pressure I wanted on it when contractions would come. So, yeah, really that, you know, having that fail was something, again, like I hadn't listened to those podcasts where people had failed epidurals and, you know, that's ended up happening to me. But, you know, all a bit of a blur now. The good thing was, and I think the reason I kind of said let's just push through and stick this out, is within a few hours I was 6 centimeters, so I knew.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I was progressing well, and baby was coming, and I could, if I could just kind of get through it, then, you know, great. They did offer me some gas, and at that point I just felt like I'd tried everything, I'd done everything, and I just didn't opt for it. And my sister, she said to me after, she was like, I wish you had just had some gas, like you were in so much pain. But I just, I don't know why, I just didn't want it. Like, I just felt like there was enough going on around me, and I was like, oh, I don't need another thing that might not even fix the pain in my left. So yeah, that was kind of the epidural. And then, so we were 6 centimeters, I think, around, like, I think it was about 5:30 in the afternoon. My midwife was she was just like, I'm gonna go have dinner, I'm gonna be half an hour max. Her partner midwife that she was working with came for that half hour, and in that half hour I started getting that intense desire to push. Really just wanted to push, like every contraction that was coming I just really was like, come on. So they got my midwife back and they examined me again at that point, and I was 10 centimeters, so I was good to start pushing. So I think I started pushing at 6 o'clock. Pushing was satisfying in the fact that, like, I felt like we were getting closer, but oh my god, so exhausting. So I pushed I think in the end for an hour 40, and just, you know, it kind of amazes me that we have that stamina to do that times. Like, your whole body is just, just blows my mind, and I don't even think you can describe what you're feeling. Like, that's why I'm kind of just not really making my point here, but like, it's just it's something else. And Luke actually tells a funny story of, like, because my mum at the time was wanting updates, like, what's happening to my sister. And my sister was like, I literally didn't have time to message. Like, there was just so much going on. Things were happening fast. And Luke tells a story of, like, literally having one hand behind my back to hold me up when a contraction would come. He had another hand by my foot to help me, like, where I was pushing. Yeah. And then he had his chin over my knee, pulling it back because I kept trying to shut my legs. So he literally had like two hands and a chin holding me, and he was telling my mum, and he was like, "So that was why there was not much ability for like updates. Like me and Sophie were pretty involved, pretty hands on at that point." Yeah,
yeah.
But I had my sister on one side, Luke on the other, and I think, you know, I really think of when black people were having babies and COVID and not having that support, because I just absolutely really leaned on them, and they, like, just having them by my head and having them there supporting me was I think it's kind of everything that keeps you going. I started getting frustrated though, because everyone kept saying, look, we can see the head but that felt like it went on for like an hour, that his head was right there, and his head just wasn't coming through. Like, I was using those breathing techniques for every contraction, and that was amazing. Again, it gave me that something to focus on. It didn't take the pain away or anything, but it was just that, you know, I could breathe through them. You'd get those breaks in between, which were just like, oh, bliss. Then you'd feel one start building up and you're like, oh my god, here we go again. Pushed for an hour 40 all up. I think when we got to about an hour 20, they were kind of thinking like, oh, you know, kind of getting a bit worried about like whether I'm going to be able to actually get him out at that point, like getting exhausted. The head was right there. He was right there, but he just wasn't coming through. So we ended up doing an episiotomy, which didn't feel a thing. That was probably the thing I was most concerned of going into labor or anything, and if I hadn't been asked about it, I wouldn't have even known I'd had one at the time. So I don't know why I was so worried about that. And then that, you know, kind of helped a little bit, but he just needed that extra assistance at the very end. So had the Vontus, I think only for like two contractions that was actually on, and it was just kind of just that little bit he needed to get out. And reason all this kind of he was struggling to get out so much is he had his thumb in his mouth, so it wasn't his head trying to come through. He had his little hand up there too, so just, you know, really, really testing me right from the start. After all of that, we got our little Louis out, and I just remember Luke saying to me, because I was kind of a bit like dazed at that point, he was just like, oh my god, he's perfect. And Luke was crying, my sister was crying, and I think I was just like so relieved that he was out, and heard his little cry. And then it's all kind of all forgotten quite quickly after that, once you're actually there, isn't it? It's amazing.
It is. Yeah. Awesome. And what sort of happened next? Like, what was happening in the room, and how were you feeling immediately after he was born? And do you want to talk us through that?
So I think, like, I knew he was about to come out, because all of a sudden you realize like there's a lot of people in the room. Like, I kind of looked around after being like pretty focused on what I was doing, and I was like, oh, there's a lot of people here. Like, I think he's literally about to come out. And so he came out, they put him straight up onto my chest, and I just remember looking at him being like, oh my god, like that's my baby, like that's what's been in my tummy this whole time, and he's here. And he looks so cute, and I never thought I would think that, because they're all kind of funny and, you know. But I just remember thinking he was so cute, and Luke was right by me, and he was just kind of quite emotional, which was really cute. I wasn't emotional as such, I was just like, I think you've just been through this huge thing, and it's almost like a bit of disbelief that they're there and it's over. And so he got checked He was on my chest for a little bit, and then they, you know, did a quick check to make sure he was all okay, and put him back on my chest pretty quickly. Luke cut the cord. We'd all given him heaps of grief pre me going into labour because he faints at the sight of his own blood. But he was totally fine in that delivery room. He's not once looked white or nauseous. He said it was just, he was just completely amazed. So he was loving, like, doing the cord and everything. And then, oh gosh, I had to, obviously, because I've had the episiotomy, I had to have the, you know, kind of be stitched back up. So my feet were up, and oh, that was not fun. My epidural was very much worn off and could feel things, and I was just trying to focus on Louis on my chest and be distracted by him, which was a very good distraction. But I just was like so excited to get my feet out of the stirrups and close my legs. Like, that was all I could think about. So I was just like, I just want to close my legs. I'm sick of everyone being down there. I mean, that kind of all went relatively quickly as well. Obviously, the placenta came out weirdly satisfying. Like, I thought that was so satisfying. It's bizarre, but and then they kind of asked me, like, do you want to keep it? Do you want to do anything? And I was just, I think I was just so over everything at that point. I was like, no, I don't even want to look at it. Like, get it away. My sister actually went and checked it out because she was just like, oh, this is interesting. But yeah, I think I was just a bit over pregnancy and labor at that point. I just wanted to be with my baby. So that all went pretty quickly. Louis was 7 pounds 6, which, you know, decent sized little bump. Everyone thought he was going to be smaller, just because, you know, we were worried about growth later in my pregnancy. But no, he was happy little boy, had, you know, dark hair like his dad's. Everyone was like, oh, he's going to look like Luke. He's going to look like Luke. But it's already got so much lighter in a few weeks. So who knows? Still hope he might look like me as well. And then, you know, from there it was pretty quick. My midwife, we were really keen to go to the Bethlehem Birthing Centre. So she got on the phone pretty quickly to see if there was a space, which there was. So I just had to go through normal discharge at the hospital. And then I would be able to go. So he was born at 7:37 p.m. on Sunday night. Unfortunately, with Tarawa Hospital, once you're kind of out of the delivery room and on the ward, partners aren't able to stay. So I was set in my mind that I was going to be not staying there and getting to the BBC, even if it meant going, you know, early hours of Monday morning. I just didn't really want to stay in the hospital without Luke. So went through the normal discharge, you know, had to be able to stand after the epidural, had to pass urine twice, do those sorts of things. They just had to monitor Louis for a little bit, make sure he was all okay, which was, you know, all fine. It was, you know, Luke had to leave at, I think, about 11 p.m., which is just, it's just such a weird feeling when you've just been through this, like, life-changing experience. You've got this brand-new baby, and then your husband or, you know, if it was your partner, they're not there. So that felt really bizarre, and I just was pretty much... They were like, just rest, you know, close your eyes for a little bit. And I was like, there's no way I can sleep right now. Like, so much adrenaline pumping. And Luke went home, had a quick shower, and just came back and waited in the car basically till we got the okay to go. And we ended up arriving at the BBC at around like 4 a.m. on Monday morning. Which, you know, I think I felt so emotional arriving there because it's just, you know, it was just this little safe haven. I was so hungry at this point because, like, I hadn't eaten for like a day, and I remember they were showing us around and they were like, yep, so there's all this toast in the freezer, and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to eat toast. And they had Vogels, and I just, even that made me emotional. I was just so happy to be there, and it's just the silliest little things. But yeah, it was for me and Luke and Louis, we just kind of, we wanted to be together, so if it meant going at 4 a.m., that was what we were going to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah. such a, I mean, the hospital people, the hospital staff and everyone was fantastic, like so lovely. I think it was just about being together. And I was just like, oh my God, there's this little tiny baby. And I was like, I don't want to do a night by myself. get back.
Yes. No, I get that. And how long did you stay in the birth centre for? What was it like there? Yeah, how did you find those first few days?
I would say to anyone, if you can, and there's availability, it was the best 2 days for Luke and I after, you know, a birth that wasn't, not that I had a plan, it was not how I envisioned my birth. I was pretty sore as well. I'm pretty uncomfortable at that point. And just to be there and be looked after and have this, you know, we were just in our little room, just the three of us. It was just the perfect transition before heading home. And we were there for, so Monday night and Tuesday night, and we left Wednesday. The midwives there were just so lovely, so helpful, helping me establish feeding as well. Like they were just available all night, all day, providing tips and helping with latch and all those sorts of things, which I think has led to, you know, played a huge part in Louie and I having a, so far, a very successful breastfeeding journey. And I would have been a bit lost without that, I think. He was just, it was just amazing, and didn't realise that, you know, that, like, you know, the second night after baby's born, when they kind of wake up, it's can be a pretty tough night. And we definitely had that on the Monday night. I think we slept maybe 2 hours, but having the midwife there that would come in and chat to you, and, you know, even in the middle of the night, it was just, it was great. It would have been, we would have got through, obviously, and you can get through 100%, but for us being the first time, it was just, I always have, like, very fond memories of it. It was just nice. We just lay in the bed all day and looked at Louie and kind of adjusted to our new life before heading home. That was epic. Food also was epic. The Monday night, there was this burger, and Luke said it just filled him with so much joy watching me just inhale a burger after what we'd been through. He was just like, kind of just reassured me you were back and you were okay. Like, then you just eat so happily.
Awesome. And how did you find going home? Like, were you nervous to take Louie home? Were you ready to go home? Yeah, what was that like for you?
Ready to go home. I was kind of like, you know, as lovely as it is, we need to like get into our own routine. I was keen to be in our own space and just start our kind of, you know, the next chapter of our life as our family at home. So I definitely felt ready. And at that point, you know, we were feeding was going well. That first day, he kind of wouldn't latch. So I was just expressing, and we were feeding it through a little kind of cup or a little syringe. But by that second day, he was latching and felt like we were kind of making leaps and bounds. So I felt better about going home. And going home was really nice. Seeing our two dogs react to Louie was something that I'd looked forward to for forever. And their reaction was just absolutely beautiful. They were so excited and doting of their little brother. So it was just nice to be home. And it's just those home comforts as well, I think. And, you know, having your bed and all those things. And we didn't have heaps of visitors. Like, we had kind of agreed before Louie's arrival that we would take it slow with visitors, really just maximise the time, just the three of us getting to know each other. We had immediate family, but they would be, like, really quick, kind of like half an hour quickly, meet Louie, check that we were okay, or drop off food or something. But that first week was really just pretty much Luke and I, Louie and the dogs, which was so nice. And it was something that had been kind of recommended to me by a lot of people, and I'd heard people speak about it on your podcast, was just really not rushed to have visitors. Like, he's not going to change much in a week, and they can come the week after and just
–
You know, my view for Luke was that I wanted to be out of a nappy before everyone was like coming to the house. Like, it just, I don't know. I just wanted to be more comfortable in my own, in my own self and all those sorts of things before everyone's coming over.
That makes sense for sure. Yeah. And how were you feeling mentally? Like, it's just such a huge adjustment, right? You've got this new baby and you're just, yeah, it's such so just life changing. So, yeah, how were you feeling mentally over those first few weeks?
It's been something quite interesting for me because I thought I was like a, you know, I think I thought at the time while I was pregnant, I was really enjoying it. And, you know, I felt a bit hormonal, but not too bad. But since giving birth and having Louis here, I've kind of reflected on the fact that I think I was, you know, not super happy pregnant. And I think I found it tougher than I maybe realized because I, you know, I was prepared for baby blues. I was prepared to, you know, feel quite emotional and all those sorts of things. But I've just been quite, like, on a high. And even still now, like, I just feel like myself again. I feel, like, oh, don't get me wrong, there is tough times where I'm just like, oh, my God, this is overwhelming. And there's this little human that's so dependent on me. And when they cluster feed, it's so exhausting. But I still think I'm better mentally and myself with Louis here and kind of in that fourth trimester than I was in my pregnancy. I just, yeah, I feel really good in myself and quite content with our little family here at home. Luke's had 4 weeks off work, so just been lapping up, and he's been super hands-on. I think I've done 2 nappies this whole time, maybe 3. I think the only thing I'm feeling now is that with him returning to work next week and just, you know, that readjustment again of like, okay, now, it, you know, it's going to be more time, just Louis and I, and that's going to be more full on and, you know, just trying to balance that and adjust again, and we will, but it will take some time. And but, you know, I didn't have any expectations on myself for these first few weeks and, especially with feeding and stuff, but he's sleeping well and he's feeding well, so I think that's all you can really ask for at this stage. He's putting on heaps of weight. He's a little chubby guy now and loves to feed. Like, I just feel like that's all I do, but I guess that's my main purpose for him at the moment, which I'm okay with. So yeah, and no, I've actually been loving this time, which wasn't expecting to, you know, I really did not expect to.
Awesome. And what about like your birth recovery physically? How have you found the recovery to been over the past sort of 4 or so weeks? And I know you had an episiotomy, so how have you found that?
So that was really sore for a good, I want to say, week. I just literally was the frozen pads, the Viva La Volva frozen packs, everything. The healing spray, it was uncomfortable. Definitely. Like, I think as well, because you're sitting so much to feed, but you can't really sit properly because it's just sore. So I was taking pain relief and doing the frozen pads a lot. That really started to ease in the second week, and so did the bleeding, which was nice. Felt like things were starting to feel a bit better. What else in terms of I've still had some hip pain, which kind of started before Louis came. I went and saw an osteo, which has helped hugely with that. But I think as well, like, you're just so sleep deprived in those first few weeks and your body's exhausted from birth and trying to heal and recover. There's a lot going on. But yeah, I mean, now I was pretty quickly able to start moving again, start walking. I was really keen to get out and about. Like, everyone was like, oh, you're out and about so early, like, amazing. But I was like, I need to, even if it's just sitting at sitting outside and having a coffee somewhere, for me mentally, that was huge, just to do those things and feel normal again. Walking, I love doing little outings and stuff. We did one with the dogs, which I regret now because it was just way too much. Need baby steps. But so I guess my midwife was like, you can look at, you know, down there and get a mirror and see what it looks like. She's like, it looks exactly the same. Like, don't worry. I was like, I'll just trust the process and I'll look like it's completely healed. And I found it funny, like at our last midwife appointment, she was like, right, so at 21 days post-birth, like you're very fertile, so you need to start thinking about contraception. I was like, there's just no need to worry about that. No. Like I am, that area has been through enough. It's going to have a little vacation.
Amen.
Wowza. No way. That needs to have some time. But I think, you know, from what my midwife has said, it's all healing beautifully and haven't had any nipple damage, touch wood, to date. Definitely a bit engorged, which can be painful at times, but you know, just getting that to all balance out and get the supply established and stuff. So so good.
Sounds like it. That's awesome. It's so nice to hear. Like obviously everybody has a different experience, but it is just really nice to hear that you're doing really well and things are going well for you both. And is there any, like, has there been products that you've used either for you or for Louis that you're like, yep, I would 100% recommend those if it was, you know, within someone's means?
I was thinking about this because I remember when I was listening to them, I was like, oh, that sounds like a good product. Like, I'll get that. For Louis, I would say, like, we have this, like, baby lounger, which is kind of, it looks like a little cloud bed thing. We got the dimples one. It was actually a gift at our baby shower, which has been absolutely amazing because it means we can just kind of move him around the house. He sleeps in it during the day and he's so cozy and content in there. So that would be a big one. The other one is just white noise machines. So we've got two. We've got a shusher and this Mooney Bear, which my mum actually got for Louis. And the Mooney Bear just looks like a little stuffed toy, but he's got a little white noise machine in him, which does like the womb sound. It does see, and it's, you know, even I think once Louis weaned off it, I'll probably just keep it in here because it's so relaxing and I'm obsessed with it now. But the white noise has been awesome. Louis also loves the vacuum cleaner. Any sort of noise puts him to sleep, basically. He doesn't like silence. So we've always got music playing, things happening. I remember the first few days we were like nervous we'd wake him if we turned a smoothie machine on or the vacuum, but he loves it, puts him to sleep. So white noise is another one I would recommend. And then for me, I was trying to think about this, definitely some comfortable feeding clothes would be a big one. You know, shirts, so you're not having to like try get t-shirts off and stuff. That would be a big one, especially in those first few days when they're just cluster feeding and you constantly feel like you've got your top off and your boobs out. So having something like that's really nice. And then the Viva La Vulva products for me were huge, obviously with the episiotomy, the ice packs, the healing spray, they were all amazing. And I've also used the Silverettes, which I think has helped with me having kind of no damage at this point and no cracks or anything. So those, I think, would be my top ones. I went to town on everything, and it's amazing. Some stuff you just haven't even touched it yet.
The same.
And in my hospital bag, I've had packed like everything under the sun, and half of it didn't even get used because my hospital experience was not what I expected. Actually, one more thing I would recommend completely is, such a basic one, but the Kiwi Crush.
Yes.
Thank God for Kiwi Crush.
Yes, 100% agree.
Late pregnancy and postpartum, just get it in you however you can, because that was the scary few moments when you've got to, you know, pass that first one and that Kiwi Crush helped. So one other thing I forgot to mention, which was a bit of a lifesaver for me in those early labor stages and also when I was getting some bad Braxton Hicks, was the TENS machine. That was amazing. Didn't really know what they were, and it was something I got later on that my midwife recommended, and that relieved so much pain for me, and I had it on until I got that epidural in. And it's a funny little thing how it works, but I think if anyone is, you know, thinking maybe they're gonna do a long labor at home or, you know, anything like that, 100% recommend that TENS machine. It is epic. So that would be something else I'd do over again. I borrowed one this time, but if I have other babies, I'll be buying one to keep because that was great.
They're actually really good for like muscle spasms and like back pain and stuff like that after pregnancy too. I've used mine heaps. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Emma, for coming on the podcast and sharing your story with me. I know there'll be lots of other people out there that really enjoy it. So super grateful that you took the time, and Louie's just gorgeous. I love your updates on Instagram. So thanks for sharing.
Oh, thank you for having me. I was so excited to share after having listened to so many myself. I think if I can help one person out there or give them a bit of hope for any part of the stage, then that's amazing. Really cool. Thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. That is brought to you by Your Birth Project, the online hypnobirthing course you need to create your best birth, which is now accompanied by the online store with everything pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. So if you want to check it out, www.yourbirthproject.com or at Your Birth Project on Instagram or Facebook. I look forward to bringing you another beautiful birth story next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.